I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy morning show for you today. We're going to hear more about the election results from the primary elections that ended on June 27th. We're also going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
There is an open Irish music session on the first Friday of each month at the American Legion Hall, 92 2nd Street in Athens. Anyone is invited to bring a musical instrument or be part of the audience. You can also bring your own refreshments to the Irish Open Session on the first Friday of every month at the American Legion Hall in Athens. Find out about more events like this on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can add your own events, too, if you're helping to put on a community show.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of John Mason of Chatham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with WGXC Daily News for Thursday, June 29th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Patrick Tyne reports in the Times Union that New York's Departments of Environmental Conservation and Health, Governor Kathy Hochul, announced that every region in the state had air on June 28th that was either unhealthy or unhealthy for sensitive groups, which includes pregnant women and people with asthma or other pulmonary conditions. The smoke is expected to linger in the air through June 30th. An air quality health advisory issued by the DEC and DOH on June 28th was extended through Thursday. Experts recommend keeping windows and doors closed while the smoke is in the air. Close the outdoor air damper on window air conditioners or HVAC systems, or set HVAC systems to recirculate mode. Avoid using evaporative coolers or portable air conditioners, and keep the seals between the windows and devices as tight as possible. A portable air cleaner or high-efficiency air filter can also help. A DIY air cleaner can be made by attaching one or two filters to a box fan. Wearing N95 masks for outdoor activity is also recommended. Emergency cell phone notifications will go out to New Yorkers if the air quality index exceeds the 200 threshold for very unhealthy air. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Michael Ryan reports for the Mountain Eagle that Prattsville officials are considering a noise ordinance, but are uninterested in regulating short-term rentals. The Hudson Valley and all of New York State have an affordable housing crisis, fueled in part by short-term rentals. Governor Kathy Hochul is talking about affordable housing, but not noise. Town Supervisor Greg Cross said, quote, "We currently don't have a noise ordinance, obviously, so if somebody calls about a noisy neighbor, there's nothing we can do," unquote. He also explained why the town is considering a noise ordinance now, saying, quote, "We haven't had any real problems yet, but there have been some potential problems in town, so we are looking at this," unquote. Cross also said, quote, "There is no appetite on the town board to create short-term rental regulations. Some people believe there should be a fee on short-term rentals and that we should know who the property manager is in case there's a complaint, but we don't have any enforcement mechanism," unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Mid-Hudson News reports that the New York State Board for Historic Preservation has recommended adding Fairview Manor in Columbia County to the state and national registers of historic places. The property is also known as the Alonzo and Mary E. Flack House in Claverack. The brick house was built around 1870 and damaged by a fire in 1988. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 29th. Local early morning temperatures range from 56 degrees in Tannersville to 61 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 66 degrees. Pollen levels are creeping back up to medium levels. Smoke advisories are out, so some of you would be wise to run those air purifiers. In case the music didn't tip you off, today takes a break from the raininess. It will be partly cloudy and we see a high of 82 at 5 p.m. Expected temperatures are mellowing out due to the smoke. Overnight, we dip to 62 degrees. Then tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 86. Some rain or thunder may be seen near dark. Overnight, temperatures fall to 65 degrees. Then on Saturday, rain most of the day with a stormy afternoon, high of 82. Sunday, high of 81, still rainy. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:45 a.m., high tide at 11:52 a.m., and low tide once again at 6:40 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see we have a geomagnetic storm watch today as a glancing Hadouken is expected. Highly active sunspot 3354 is pointing directly at us today, and if it gets angry, expect some X-class flares and radio interruption. Plasma winds will be average at 499 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 7 MHz till dark, then fair below 15 MHz overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 141, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Yeah.
2023 music from Guided by Voices there called Meet the Star on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I entered the race because I think we're at such a low point in the history of America. We've got to reintroduce each other to the best of ourselves, the best of our tradition.
Political activist Cornel West is running for president in 2024 as the Green Party's candidate. He decided to run because he feels there's too much hatred in the country and there needs to be more truth and justice. Some issues he plans to campaign on include creating jobs with a living wage, building quality housing across the country, growing poverty, and bettering education. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden has been touting his Bidenomics plan, designed to grow the economy through the middle class. Along with signing the bipartisan infrastructure bill, other elements of the plan include public investments in America and promoting competition to lower costs so entrepreneurs and small businesses can thrive. He noted trickle-down economics has not worked for Americans despite assertions to the contrary.
It's believed that we should cut taxes for the wealthy and big corporations. And I know something about big corporations. There's more corporations in Delaware incorporated than every other state in the union combined. I want them to do well, but I'm tired of waiting for the trickle down. It doesn't come very quickly.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed several bills targeting the LGBTQ plus community in the past legislative session. Gene Woodbury with Equality Arizona says even if such bills don't succeed in Arizona, the ideas are being tried elsewhere. According to the Human Rights Coalition, more than 550 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been introduced in state legislatures in 2023 alone. Though she's glad to see the bills vetoed, Woodbury notes they take a toll on those who are affected.
Especially if you're a kid, especially if you're a parent of a young kid and you're hearing these messages about where you belong, where your family can live, getting the veto makes you feel safe, but it doesn't take away the danger.
Oregon lawmakers have passed legislation to enact minimum nurse-to-patient ratios at hospitals in the state. The measure comes as nurses and other medical professionals have been facing burnout, leading to shortages across the industry. A nurses.org survey found more than 80% of nurses felt burned out, underpaid, frustrated with administrators, and are dealing with mental health challenges. Meanwhile, only 12% of nurses were happy with their work. Matt Swanson with the SEIU Oregon State Council says the bill is a win for patients.
This law, when implemented, is going to mean that you will have somebody at your bedside that is well able to meet your needs, rested, and has working conditions that really allow them to focus on the needs of the patient.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We now have a decision in Moore versus Harper, the independent state legislature theory case, which had pro-voter advocates concerned for the future of voting rights. June 28, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that state courts do have a say in election law and that power doesn't reside exclusively in state legislatures. Democracy advocates breathed a sigh of relief. The North Carolina legislature contested a 2021 decision by the state Supreme Court to throw out gerrymandered voting maps, claiming the fringe constitutional theory gave the legislature ultimate power over election law. A newly elected state Supreme Court overturned the 2021 court's decision, so some thought Moore versus Harper might be dismissed. Instead, Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett sided with the court's liberals to take on the fringe theory. They ruled the U.S. Constitution does grant state legislatures oversight of elections, but that state courts retain power under the Elections Clause to interpret state constitutionality of those laws. Roberts' opinion included a role for the federal courts to, quote, ensure that state court interpretations of that law do not evade federal law. While it protects a tool advocates use to defend fair maps and voting rights, the decision does not stop rogue legislatures from partisan gerrymandering, a Pandora's box the court opened in 2019. We have early analysis at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at Mediasanctuary.org.
For our first segment, this is being recorded on Wednesday. Tuesday was the primary day in New York, and while turnout was very low, as expected, there were a number of contested races in the Capital District and statewide. Mark, let's start off with Rensselaer County, where the top races included a Democratic primary for Troy City Council president and a Republican and Conservative Party primary for county sheriff.
Well, thank you, Sina. In the race between two city council persons, Sue Steele easily beat Emily Men, 70-30%, in the Democratic primary for Troy City Council president. Steele will now face Republican Brad Lewis in the November election. Men complained that about media coverage shortly before the primary, which focused on her unpaid taxes, as well as her complaints about alleged favoritism by the Rensselaer County Board of Elections and basically by the Democratic Party. The present Troy City Council president, Republican Carmela Mantello, is running for Troy mayor against Rensselaer County legislator Democrat Nina Nichols. Patrick Madden, the incumbent, is term limited. In the county sheriff's race, Sergeant Kyle Burgalt, who actually is a spokesperson for the sheriff's office, easily won the primaries for both Republican and Conservative Party. In November, he will face off against retired Troy Police Chief Brian Owens, whom he defeated in the Conservative Party primary on Tuesday. They are running to succeed two-term incumbent Patrick Russo, a Republican, who opted not to seek re-election. Russo has been controversial, as you know, for his efforts to work with ICE to target immigrants. Owen says he wants to focus on the opioid drug problem and resource officers in school. Burgalt also says he wants to focus on those issues, as well as recruitment and retention in the jail, where he says the current staff is overworked.
In Albany County, there were a number of primaries in the city for county legislature, as well as Democratic primaries for mayor of Watervliet and the city of Cohoes. What happened over there?
Well, in Albany County, one of the ones most looked at was Mert Simpson, co-chair of the Sheridan Hollow Alliance, who was facing a spirited challenge for his county legislative District 2, Arbor Hill area. He won pretty handily. It had been expected to be closer since his opponent was mainly focusing on trying to get absentee ballots filled out. His brother, the opponent to Mert, Mark Robinson, won in District 4. In another race, incumbent Lynn Lukakis easily defeated former legislator Brian Scavo in the Delaware Avenue area. In what of a lead, Mayor Charles Petrocelli won the Democratic primary over challenger Timothy Cavanaugh, basically 56-44%. There was no Republican challenger in the general election. In somewhat surprising news, in the town of Gilliland, Jacob Crawford, the county Democratic chairperson, finished third for two positions on the town board. Probably the most spirited set of elections, for some reason, was in the city of Cohoes. And the Common Council there will be seeing several new faces with four primary races. Republicans seldom win in the general election. Apparently, the staffing of the fire department and ambulance service contracts have been the major issues. Justin Alizio looks to be the only incumbent who won. However, his lead over challenger Thomas Fifth is only three votes, according to unofficial results.
So we've also been covering the candidates in Schenectady and Saratoga Springs, or Schenectady and Saratoga County. So what's happening over there?
Well, one of the area's most closely watched races, three-term incumbent Schenectady Mayor Gary McCarthy narrowly defeated City Council President Marion Porterfield, held that position, at least on the city council, for 12 years as well. Results were 55-45%. Clearly, race has been a factor recently in city politics in Schenectady. Porterfield, surprisingly, I guess, was tied 26-26 with Edward Varno in the Working Families Party primary for mayor. McCarthy was promoting himself as a person who's helped transform the electric city and a leader who has cut taxes six times. McCarthy will also face Republican Matt Nelligan in the November election. Up in Saratoga in the Democratic Party primary, Mayor Ron Kim defeated his longtime ally, Chris Matheson, who is the former commissioner of public safety, by 864-566. Matheson, however, will continue the campaign on an independent line. Kim, who also has the Working Family Party's line, says he is moving the city in a more progressive direction. Matheson attacked Kim for allowing Black Lives Matter activists to disrupt two city council meetings. Kim attacked Matheson over his handling of the killing of Daryl Mount, a 20-year-old biracial man with mental health issues. Republican John Safford will challenge them both in November.
So outside of the Capital Region, what are some noteworthy races in the rest of the state?
Well, in Poughkeepsie, a little bit south of us, they are just one step closer to electing its first Black mayor after council member Yvonne Flowers won a pretty tight three-way Democratic primary race. The current mayor, Mark Nelson, actually was appointed to the position when the prior elected person got elected to a state office, finished actually a distant third. Nelson had been criticized for how he dealt with replacement of lead pipes in the city, an issue we've seen here in the city of Troy. In the city, New York City, Yusef Salem, a member of the exonerated Central Park Five, who spent 7 years in prisons before becoming an advocate for the wrongly convicted, won pretty handily in a crowded Democratic primary to represent Harlem in the New York City Council. He easily defeated two challengers who actually were sit-in state lawmakers. Charles Barron lost, apparently. It's kind of close, could change on the recount or absentee ballots. Lost for City Council in New York City, in a district he has won on and off for several decades. He's a former Black Panther and has been one of the most maverick progressive politicians at both the state and city level. Interestingly, he spends 8 years in the City Council, gets term limited, runs for State Assembly. His wife switches position and have gone back and forth for decades doing this in Brooklyn. Statewide, India Walton lost handily, unfortunately, in her bid for Buffalo City Council to Zanetta Everhart, who was the mother of one of the victims, he survived, in last year's gun attack at a local supermarket. Everhart, who has become a vocal advocate for gun reform, is a staff person for State Senator Tim Kennedy. Walton had defeated incumbent Mayor Brown 2 years ago in a Democratic primary, but then lost in the general election. That primary defeat was seen as a wake-up call for the Brown Party machine, and that machine mobilized and defeated Progressive in three other city council races as well.
So you mentioned that there was a low turnout this year, and do we expect in our November election that the turnout will be greater? And what are some things that we could be looking forward to in that race?
Well, this primary is in June, which is something that's only been occurring in recent years. Actually, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer changed the date to make it easier for the military overseas to vote, and that has really put the primaries in a time when people are not used to it. So you usually expect a higher turnout in November, but one of the things that just happened is that the state legislature is now in the future going to combine local elections with the statewide elections. So that will occur every even year, and we'll no longer have local elections on the odd years, which might result in a little bit higher turnout. People tend to vote highest in the presidential election and then secondarily in the gubernatorial election and then not so much in the local elections.
Thank you, Mark Dunley, for that election recap.
Well, thank you, Sina.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm not sure if anyone has ever claimed that Nirvana ripped off the ex-Catheads there, but if they did, I guess they would have sued by now, because one, the bass player in the ex-Catheads is, full disclosure, WGXC's broadcast lawyer. So there's the Paul Harvey rest of this story. In other WGXC news, apparently the theory is currently that the thunderstorm on, I think, Monday night struck some part of the WGXC transmitter facility. The transmitter itself seems fine. I guess the theory is that the lightning struck something up there, and the power surge from the lightning came in through some electrical wire or something on the property, and only affected certain things, but it took out an entire computer mostly, which was why we were off the air on Tuesday. But that's the theory that is there. There was another work truck when somebody from WGXC was at the tower site working on something else that had gone wrong recently. Implying maybe that the lightning hit something else and knocked something else out. So I don't know if your cell service in the Cairo area is down. Let us know, because maybe that's the reason. And maybe it's getting fixed today, and maybe it's restored now. Like the WGXC FM signal is back on 90.7 FM. Thanks to, I think it knocked out our Verizon signal, and we've switched to a new Mid-Hudson fiber signal, so hopefully it will be a little more stable. But there is the WGXC radio station news report for today.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC news update. The Times Union reports that local filming is quieter this summer than last, with the writer's strike affecting productions in the Hudson Valley. The Writers Guild of America has been striking since May 2nd in a dispute with the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers. Last time the writers had a strike, it lasted 100 days. Mikai Khan, a director, writer, and co-founder of the 518 Film Network, said, and I quote, "It used to be like a writer on Lost would make $10,000 a year from residuals from their show, and now they're making 14 cents. People are fighting for their living. They're fighting for their ability to pay their bills and survive in an industry that doesn't really care if they survive or not. End quote. Debbie Godek, Albany County Film Commissioner, explains the impact of film productions have locally, saying, and I quote, "The Association of Film Commissioners International estimates that it's 125,000 to 165,000 a day when a production comes into a city. From personal experience, I believe that does happen," end quote. Last summer, the TV shows The Gilded Age and Poker Face filmed in the Hudson Valley, and this year Pretty Little Liars has. The Gilded Age booked a combined total of 11,000 hotel rooms in Albany County, Godek said, noting that she has felt the difference between this summer and last. She said, and I quote, "I'm sure it's because of the writer's strike. Though we may not be impacted in a direct way, indirectly, I think we are feeling that impact," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that home sales fell 34.3% in the first 5 months of the year in Hudson Valley, according to the Ulster County Board of Realtors. The average selling price rose by just under 3%, rising from $406,692 in January through May period in 2022 to $474,119 last year. Housing costs have risen dramatically in the Hudson Valley since the COVID-19 pandemic, and these statistics are among the first signs that the housing market locally is cooling. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that New York voters have mixed views on Governor Kathy Hochul. A Siena College survey released June 28th found Hochul has a 42% favorable rating and a 43% unfavorable rating. The poll found 48% of voters have a positive view of the job Hochul is doing as governor and 44% have a disapproving view. President Joe Biden got similar results with 47% of voters in New York holding a favorable view of him and 47% holding an unfavorable opinion. Former President Donald Trump, running for the Republican nomination, is overwhelmingly unpopular in New York, with only 33% of those polled having a favorable view of the twice-indicted former president, while 61% of those polled holding an unfavorable view of Trump. The poll surveyed 817 registered voters between June 20th and June 25th, with a margin of error of 3.9 percentage points. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 83 degrees. On Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 61 degrees. And on Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 85 degrees. And Friday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Thank you.
2023 album This Stupid World from Yola Tenga. That's Sinatra Drive Breakdown on 90.7 FM WGXC.
And I think I'm gonna miss you for a long, long time. 'Cause I've done everything I know to try and make you mine. And I think I'm gonna love you for a long, long time.